Hi everyone, welcome again to another podcast from Teacher Joseph. Today's podcast is a special one all about Belfast, specifically what happened last night. Now, for those of you who don't know, yesterday there were protests in Belfast about immigration. The background is this. There was a man who was stabbed by a Sudanese man earlier this week. So a man from Sudan stabbed an Irish man, supposedly. The man is in hospital. He's not dead. He's doing well. This happened in Belfast. He's recovering. And the man from Sudan, as it turns out, is a refugee. He's been trying to claim asylum. He came into the system, into Dublin, travelled north into Britain, where he claimed asylum. That's the background. Now, of course, there was also a stabbing last week in Southampton, where a young man, Henry Novak, was stabbed, supposedly by someone of Indian origin. I don't know if that man was a British-born Indian or just Indian. It doesn't really, isn't really important for this because we're talking about Belfast. But anyway, protests have been happening around the UK after these stabbings. So Southampton, as you know, I've been reporting, there's been protests. Belfast was yesterday. And also in Glasgow, there were protests in support of the Belfast protests. Now, they obviously knew that these protests weren't going to be peaceful because shopkeepers were told to leave their premises at 4 p.m. and to lock up early. So the police were obviously expecting trouble. And we're going to read through The Guardian to see if we can work out exactly what's been going on. Now, the one other thing to add is that there's a lot of speculation that these were caused by speeches from the far right. The police are very quick to point out that it was a very small number of people who were carrying out this behavior last night, which got completely out of control. I mean, if you've seen the media, it is all about cars being overturned, houses being torched, a demand that immigrants must leave based upon skin color. So the police are quick to point out that this is a very small number of people and they will be prosecuted. The heavy hand of the law will come down upon them. And there's fear in the UK right now that things are going to get worse. But one thing is for sure, it does look like this was all propagated and pre-planned by the far right. I mean, even Elon Musk supposedly was giving comments yesterday. But let's read through the Guardian news reports and see what it has to say. The headline in The Guardian today says, "Violence erupts in Belfast after protests over knife attack." So as I mentioned, somebody was stabbed in Belfast. He's making a good recovery in hospital. And it says here, "Crowds, including people in masks and hoods, burned vehicles and properties after calls for demonstrations from far-right figures. Protests against immigration have erupted into violence in Northern Ireland after far-right activists called for demonstrations in response to a stabbing attack that was captured in a graphic video. Crowds, including masked men, burned vehicles and houses and blocked roads in and around Belfast on Tuesday night, hours after Elon Musk, Tommy Robinson and other agitators exhorted people to take to the streets. Protesters hijacked and burned a bus on Newtownards Road in East Belfast and torched cars near Shankill Road and in Newton Abbey, from which smoke poured while sirens sounded and the police helicopter hovered above. Now, this is from The Guardian. I'll just continue reading. It says here, the unrest flared hours after police charged a 30-year-old asylum seeker from Sudan with attempted murder in connection with an attack in North Belfast on Monday night that left the man critically injured and prompted widespread shock and condemnation. The police, and I just want to say here, the police are kind of playing this down. It says here in this report, the police mentioned that sporadic pockets of disorder have broken out in a number of locations across Northern Ireland this evening, including incidents in which a number of vehicles have been set on fire. We're urging everyone to remain calm, act responsibly, and avoid any activity that could place themselves or others at risk. And then it goes on to talk about a number of dignitaries, important people, MPs, who've condemned this, saying that this was something very, very bad that's happened, and it really needs to wind down. So everyone's asking for calm. Politicians and community leaders, it says here, accused the far right of seeking to stoke unrest in Northern Ireland and across the UK. Stephen Yaxley Lennon, that's the man who's known as Tommy Robinson. Yes, that's right. Tommy Robinson is not his real name. He's, I think his parents or grandparents were actually Irish. I know he holds an Irish passport. He shared the video of the Belfast attack and posted a call for protests in central London and elsewhere in the UK. So, it's looking bad. The police are trying to play it down just because, of course, they want calm. It's not very British to have people running around the streets causing such problems. But I think part of the problem here is apparently there were around 100 masked men who were shouting loudly, "We want foreigners out." Now, they were targeting black men and anyone who looked different, basically. So this wasn't any kind of educated attempt at reasoning with people. They just saw people who were different from them and attacked them. One Ukrainian girl, she was living in one of the houses, was forced to flee. A family from Africa that's been living there for 20 years. And there's a whole host of others coming forward saying that they were targeted. So looking bad, and the concern, of course, is that this isn't going to go away. Now, there's a few other things to say here. One thing is about Reform UK, that's Nigel Farage's party. The chairman there, Zia Yusuf, he's I think his parents came from Asia somewhere, or at least it's known that he has some Indian blood in him. He said, "The horror of what you have seen in Belfast is a direct result of treacherous Tory and Labour immigration policy. Reform has already announced a total ban on visas for anyone from Sudan. Enough is enough." Right, so many of you have asked me in English lessons why we allow an Indian Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, why we allow people like Zia Yusuf to say these things. But I want to point out here that Britain is incredibly diverse. We have white people, we have black people, we have brown people. This is a tapestry of who we are. So to ask questions like, why do you allow an Indian prime minister, is wrong on so many levels, because someone like Rishi Sunak is just as much British as he may be culturally Indian. But he's a British man. He's perfectly entitled to do all of the things that I do. And he does them well. After all, he became prime minister. So someone's skin colour does not determine whether they are a foreigner. Reform, yeah, I mean, obviously stoking hatred is not good, but the fact that Zia Yusuf is their chairman kind of demonstrates that they're not actually racist in their policies. They're just using people who perhaps are not so well educated to stir up problems. Now, the media here is very quick to point out, oh, yeah, racist policies. This is the problem. You know, the far right don't like other nationalities. They also go on to say that our government also, by, you know, stamping out illegal immigration, they're also acting a little bit racist. There is a question mark there as to whether it is racist, because the one thing all of these groups have in common is they don't like illegal immigration. Illegal immigration. So last night, this moment in Belfast, where you have Ukrainian people, black people, people who are perfectly entitled to live here legally, were attacked. And that's just wrong. Why did this happen? Was it mixed messages that they got on social media? Was it really Elon Musk, Nigel Farage, or Tommy Robinson, whoever it was, giving these messages? I'm not sure. I don't know. But I know that often these messages are very confused with religion, like Islam, for example. But last night it seemed that nobody cared. Everybody was in the crowd, 100 men masked, screaming that all foreigners have to leave. So clearly, some people were getting very confused. Now, the last time this happened was after somebody was accused of something in England. There was a mosque attack. There was other things happened, and demonstrations against Islam and everything else. And then they discovered that the problem was somebody else completely. And the mosque had been attacked, and it didn't have to be. Now, there are a number of anti-Islamic posters going up around the UK. Mosques are regularly being attacked, as well as synagogues. But I don't think people here are necessarily educated enough to know what they're doing. And after that last big attack, which I think was in, was it near Manchester somewhere, was it? I can't remember. I think it was in the north of England somewhere. When all those men were arrested and they were questioned, they were asked, why did you do that? And many of them said, oh, well, we were just caught up in the moment. We didn't actually mean any harm. But they had already done what they had done by that point. They were kind of whipped up into a frenzy of anger, of extremism. And a few of them said, we just wanted to be part of something, which might hint at a deeper problem of the way men are here, Men are solitary. We're no longer parts of communities. We like the idea of being whipped up into something because it makes us feel good. Some kind of group policy, some kind of group movement, because we don't usually have that. And it's quite tribal. Do you see where I'm going with this? What I'm saying is, last night, now all these men have been caught. Well, I think most of them have anyway. They'll be charged. And once that mood has gone of heightened anxiety, they'll be asked, why did you do this? And they'll probably say the same thing. Oh, sorry, we just got carried away in the moment. So really what I'm trying to say here, and I'm taking a long way around getting to it, is that opinions, particularly bad opinions, spread like viruses. And that's why you have to guard your mind. When you hear an opinion, whether it's bad man does bad thing, you have to realize that there's much more to the story than bad man does bad thing. That bad man may not actually be bad. That bad thing may be because of another supposedly bad thing. The idea that there's this, or these two opposing forces of good and evil fighting each other, like some kind of really bad Batman movie, is really what's pushing all of us into division. So you have to be very careful with your chain of thoughts on this. Otherwise, you'll end up just the same as those men from Belfast last night. It's difficult. There's no question about that. It's a very hard thing to try and understand. But what I understand from all of this is that, quite simply, an opinion has been circulating, has injected itself into a system and has been accepted and used as an excuse for violence, you know. But when there's any opinions coming up here, there is a perfectly natural legal route via protests. And of course, you can argue and say, well, nothing ever changes unless you force it. Yeah, that might be true also. But hounding people out of their homes, asking them to leave just because they look like a foreigner, that's never going to be the answer, I think. So, to conclude then, last night, storm in a teacup? No, it wasn't that, because I think this isn't going to go away. It shows how susceptible some British people are. And I don't think that has anything to do with the problem. I don't think that has something to do with immigration, illegal or not. I think it shows how untrained our minds are. Someone comes along and says, by the way, your friend Joe was stabbed last night by a bad, bad man. Of course, there's going to be things in your mind where you want revenge. But you need to stop and really ask yourself, well, is this truth? Am I receiving the full story here? And you need to think about a more composed response. And because we're not doing that, because people's minds now are not quite so trained as they were perhaps in the past, and the idea of getting into that tribal moment where you can claim your group, I think this is one of the biggest problems, because I can see here that men are completely lost. I mean, I'm seeing and hearing lots of things about male suicide, male loneliness. So, of course, when a cause comes along which says, well, you can save your community by being part of this group, it's easy to be swayed. Sorry, I had to pause there. That was Alexa giving me my reminder of something I have to do today. But anyway, that's my point, okay? This is a very serious issue of illegal immigration, number one. Not racism, number two. But with all the speeches we're hearing from different people, yeah, it seems like it's all getting wrapped up with racism. And that is where you can get into trouble. So you have to be very clear on what your ideas are, what your beliefs are. Illegal immigration, everyone's got their view on it. It's illegal. Of course it's not right. It's what's written on the tin. But racism, well, that's a very different thing. There may be some overlap there. But I think the biggest problem is men today here really have lost their way. What it is to be a man, what it is to act as a man. Most men here will tell you they lead fundamentally very, very lonely lives. So when something comes along that says, oh, come on, fight for us, many men, especially the more vulnerable ones, are going to jump at that. And that's what happened last night, I think. Belfast, bits of it at least, had problems in the past. They're no strangers to violence. The same with the north of England. These are really poverty-stricken places. That's my view. Anyway, I've said enough. Would be nice to hear your viewpoints. So, leave a comment, please. And remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy these podcasts. The man with the plan, he's guided every sentence with a chalk in his hand. Turns words into the magic, makes it all feel grand. Joseph the English teacher, the best in the land. Joseph the English teacher, the best teacher in the world. He's shaping all our futures, his wisdom unfurled. With every word he whispers, our minds start to twirl. Joseph the English teacher, the best teacher.